Good morning, everyone. It is November 23rd, 2021, a Tuesday. Welcome to the ADK Homeroom. I am your host, Frank. This is your home away from homeroom. Schools around here are still in session, although this is their last day today. And judging by what my kids reported about what they did in class yesterday, I'm not sure a whole lot of education is going to go on today. Frankly, I'm not sure how much education goes on a normal day in a lot of classes. Some classes are still great, but some make me wonder. Either way, though, we've got a great Thanksgiving coming up here in the mountains. Going to have some excellent Dungeons and Dragons going on this weekend. Can't wait. Hopefully we'll get more snow. They always talk about being able to open the ski resorts by Thanksgiving, and I don't think that's going to happen this year. We are a little low on the snow, but we are not low on crazy news stories. Some typically absurd events going on in the news. Let's start looking at them. Trevor Noah. Oh my gosh. Trevor Noah comes out the other day, host of The Daily Show, and he makes a statement, nobody drives to a city with guns because they love someone else's business that much. No one has ever thought, oh, it's my solemn duty to pick up a rifle and protect the TJ Maxx. They do it because they're hoping to shoot someone. Yeah, that's I saw it in a meme from Trevor that's been going around. And much like Trevor Noah when trying to make his own show instead of just inheriting success, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. What is there so much wrong about this quote? First of all, the inability to understand life from another person's point of view here is damning. It is just an absolute indictment of the type of mindset that Trevor Noah is walking through life with. What kind of a person do you have to be if you can't accept that other people are different from you? Because there are people out there like that. No one loves business enough to drive into a city with guns to protect it. Why do you think little boys are out there playing police? Why do you think they're out there playing cops and robbers? Why do they play superheroes? Little boys dream of being heroes. This is exactly what they want to do. Now, I don't know how Trevor Noah missed this, or maybe he forgot this about his childhood, or maybe he just wasn't the type of guy who was over there playing superheroes and playing cops. Maybe he was over there in the classroom in the SRA section reading those color-coded readers so he could get ready to host the Daily Show. Or maybe he's, you know, practicing putting on that orange safety sash so he can make sure everybody gets out to their cars at the end of the day. I don't know what Trevor Noah was doing, but trust me, Trevor, a lot of other kids are out there playing cops, playing superheroes. They want to do exactly what you just said that no one ever does. Trevor, that is closed-minded, unimaginative, myopic. You're being an uncharitable bastard, frankly, who can't accept that other people might have different motives, different personality, and different goals out of life than you do. Tell me nobody cares enough about someone else's business to protect it with a gun. Don't tell me that, Trevor. I see kids like that every single day. I see kids who want to grow up and who want to be that guy who protects other people. That happens all the time. Do you think that the majority of the police force is out there and taking that job just for the money? If you think that, you probably think teachers are out there doing it for the money too. Are you kidding me? The gas station here in the Adirondacks pays more than the starting teacher's salary at my school. And I'm not exaggerating that one bit. Stewart's in Long Lake this summer paying $18 an hour. No experience. Go out to Indianapolis, you see the popcorn factory out there paying $25 an hour. And my little school district here in the Adirondacks, let me tell you, you work $18 an hour, you work, $2,000 hours a year, that's $36,000. and my school district lessen that starting salary on their schedule. Now, the benefits and hours might be better at the school, but just in terms of money, you know, just like me, way back starting my career in the 90s, I took a pay cut starting my first teaching job. And you're telling me, Trevor Noah, that kids aren't out there and dreaming of being that protector, dreaming of being that hero. Well, I'm sorry that you never had those dreams or you forgot them somewhere along the way, Trevor, but that's exactly what people do. And you know, that doesn't make Rittenhouse a hero, but it does mean that there are kids out there who are doing exactly the opposite and who want to do, and there are people out there who want to do exactly the opposite of what you said, Trevor, that they want to do exactly what you said nobody does. Your closed-mindedness is astonishing. Wake up. Come up here, Trevor. Come up here. I'll visit with you. I'll show you the classroom. Come on up. Come on up. Find me. Have your people find me. Let's keep going here. Number two, we've got an issue out there. I think everybody knows it with our data. Our data, not just on COVID, throughout science these days. You know, you got Jonathan Pruitt, the spider data. I don't know if you guys seen him. I think McMaster University even took down Pruitt's doctoral thesis because this spider researcher has been so egregious about falsifying data, just making things up left or right. You got Mark Hauser at Harvard, right? It's not limited to tinier universities. You've got all kinds of people in all kinds of reproducibility crises these days, right? Remember the Italian experiment over in Opera over there between Italy and CERN, and they claimed that they actually published a paper on neutrinos moving faster than light. I believe that turned out to be a cable issue, and that guy, the lead author, had to retire, or didn't retire. He resigned from his position in the big Opera experiment. But yeah, there's a problem with data out there. I had it the other day. Look, I owe Taylor Swift an apology, actually. Some people pointed out to me that she's actually been in a long-term relationship for like 4 or 5 years now with Joel Alwyn, I guess his name is, British actor. And, you know, like I said, if you want short-term relationships, that's great. If you want long-term relationships, that's great. But I was working from some false premises there when I was pointing out that Jake could probably look to Taylor if he wanted to find the source of the problem of breaking up real early in a relationship with Taylor Swift. And I still think that might have been true for a while, but Taylor does seem to have settled down. So I owe Taylor an apology, and I hereby give her one. Not that she's listening to me anyway, but there you go, Taylor. So we do have this data problem. And you have to be very careful about trusting your sources in any era, in any age. But I think these days, sometimes people think they don't have to be careful anymore because we have so much information out there. The internet makes it so easy to find things that I think people get lax about trusting their source. And of course, we have schools like the American school system teaching kids that somehow Encyclopedia Britannica is more reliable than Wikipedia, as if Britannica is not also subject to mistakes, as if somehow because it has some sort of traditional authority and it's older, it's going to be more right than Wikipedia. Talk about indoctrinating kids into institutionalism instead of entrepreneurialism, into hidebound tradition instead of taking risks and innovation. Not good. Not good. But anyway, the data that I want to look at here for a quick second is new data from The Economist magazine. They've gone through almost every country in the world. Not China, of course, because China doesn't share their data. But Economist has looked at many other countries out there, and they have compiled this excess death thing, this excess death number. Counterfactual number, because how are you ever going to know what the actual number of deaths in a year would have been compared to what they actually are? So the Economist looked at all the deaths in the different countries and they said, well, the deaths in this country would have been blank without everything that's been going on, without COVID and the response to COVID. And the actual deaths in the country are this number. So again, the excess deaths are pretty counterfactual. We don't actually have that world to base those facts in. But working off extrapolation from previous years, it's not completely silly to do that. And then the numbers turn out to be interesting. The United States, of course, we've seen this number before, 800,000 excess deaths compared to what were predicted versus 600,000 COVID deaths. So for what it's worth, the 25% of the excess deaths are not from COVID. And that's fluctuated right around a third. A quarter is a little bit low from what I've seen in other places. Yeah, so about a third of the deaths were either undercounted COVID deaths or were deaths from the response to COVID. And the economist makes no claims as to which is the more likely. Personally, I think with hospitals being paid extra tens of thousands of dollars per COVID case, I think that not too many COVID cases in the United States are going undercounted. I think that a lot of those excess deaths are from things that aren't COVID. And I think that those excess deaths are going to go up and up and up. Those non-COVID excess deaths are going to go up and up and up as the untreated cancers and as the delayed diagnoses start to kick in over the next decade. It'll be tragic to see that happen, to be honest with you. But the other countries are very interesting, right? Russia, 900,000 excess deaths, but only 200,000 COVID deaths officially on the books. That one really, really jumps out at you, right? That one seems like that might be some serious undercounting in that situation. And then you have places like Belgium, right? And Belgium, if you remember from the start of the year, from the start of the pandemic in Belgium, you had all these people saying, what's going on in Belgium? You're leading in the deaths per capita by this wide margin. And meanwhile, in the Netherlands, which is like right next to Belgium, except that it's underwater, 25% of it's underwater, but still they managed to be one of the richest countries in the world through that amazing 11th century technology called the dam. Yeah, so I don't know why anybody is ever worried about rising sea levels, because could break out that 11th century technology called the dam and you'll apparently be just fine. Anyway, Belgium was way worse than Netherlands in deaths per capita, and people were saying, what the heck, why? And Belgium was worst in the world for a long time. And now you look at these numbers in this economist data table here, and Belgium is recording 26,000 COVID deaths, but only 20,700 excess deaths since the start of the pandemic. So more COVID deaths than actually excess deaths. Now you could say that that's actually because people have overcompensated and other deaths like traffic accidents have gone down because people are staying at home and they're not going out. But that flies in the face that most other countries, not some, right? Like Bulgaria has way more, but some countries like Peru has more COVID-19 deaths than excess deaths. That flies in the face of the fact that most countries have more excess deaths than COVID deaths. And you're probably led to conclude then that places like Peru, places like Belgium were just overcounting their COVID deaths. Or perhaps you think that like I was saying, that the people have overcompensated. But you're in a bind if you say that COVID it has been undercounted in some countries, but not overcounted in places like Belgium and Peru. It seems a little bit inconsistent to flip back and forth between those explanations. Not necessarily, but it could be inconsistent. So that's what I wanted to point out there, is that the excess deaths are really kind of all over the board. In some cases, like the United States, excess deaths are way above COVID deaths, and in some places they are way below. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you we have a data problem, right? It tells you that we're not too confident in where this data is coming from, or worse, we're not too confident that the data is accurate in the first place. Okay, next, let's move on here. This is the section where we talk about people who don't know what words mean. A lot of people don't know what words mean. Latest example, Eddie Redmayne, another British actor, coming out saying it was a mistake for him to play a trans girl in his 2015 movie, The Danish Girl. Now, I mean, a lot of people didn't think it was a mistake, right? You won an Academy Award nomination for it. Alicia Vikander won Best Supporting Actress for that role, and two other Oscar nominations. So I guess the only win there was the Best Supporting Actress, but it was nominated for Best Actor and for two other Oscar nominations, I think like Best Set Design or something like that. And it was nominated BAFTA for Best Film. And now Eddie says that's a mistake. So that's an odd definition of mistake, but the real problem with not understanding what words mean is his reasoning, right? He says it wasn't, well, he doesn't say it wasn't woke enough, but that's what he means. It wasn't woke enough. He's echoing the mobs on Twitter and in other places, and he says only a trans actor should play a trans person. Can't play someone who's trans if you are not trans yourself. You cannot act in a role playing a trans person if you are not trans yourself. Here's the thing, Eddie. Do you know what the word acting means? It's acting. You are an actor. Come on. I mean, you're gonna only be able to play a mathematician if you're a mathematician in real life? Because let me tell you, those are gonna be some boring ass movies. Mathematicians and acting talent, there's not a whole lot of overlap there, I could tell you from experience, buddy. Physicists, you can only play a physicist if you're a physicist in real life. Physicists are not going to do as good a job as the guys in Big Bang, okay? That show would get about two views, and then maybe people would laugh at the physicists trying to act, and then they would move on. All right? There is not enough physics acting talent to play those roles. That is just, it's just so silly. It's acting, man. You're supposed to play people that you aren't. And sure, I know the woke crowd is going to say, well, they're disadvantaged. They're historically disadvantaged. It's not about race at this point. It's like the only time they'll say it's not about race, because they'll defend, of course, that in Hamilton, black actors can play white historical figures. That's okay. That's okay. The real issue, it's not race for once. It's just disadvantaged race. It's the race and the fact that you've been historically disadvantaged, right? But as Ibram Kendi and his Kendi Canes, right? Kendi Canes is the preferred term for a follower of Kendi because they're just sugary. There's no real substance there, but they are ready to whack you. And because they look foolish, just dance around like Kendi Canes behind their leader, Ibram Kendi. So, excuse me. The beginning of November, remember, Kendi tweeted, and all his Kendi Canes started dancing along with his famous tweet that he since deleted because he realized he was being an idiot to tweet it. He tweeted that white people are dying to play black people in college. They want to act black in college. They want those roles because there's preferential treatment based on race, and the white people will have a better chance of getting into college if they play a black person or a Native American person. In fact, I think his tweet pointed out some statistics. It's way over half of white people are lying about race now in their college applications. I think that was the right statistic. So who's really the disadvantaged race here, right? I mean, I would love it if my kids were Native American. They could get, free med school. I went to high school kid on my basketball team. He got free University of Michigan med school because of Native American heritage, right? Free jobs, free admissions everywhere. Tribes just sending you casino money left and right. But the problem is people forget what words mean. He clearly has forgotten, Eddie Redmayne has clearly forgotten what acting means. My wife does this. My wife forgets what words mean all the time, right? She'll be, I'll ask her, what do you want for dinner? She'll say, oh, I don't care. I say, okay, I think I'm going to order some Chinese. My wife's like, what are you doing? Are you trying to kill me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, I thought you didn't care, right? Didn't care. Seems like you care if you're going to be screaming like that. Seems like you care. But people don't know what words mean, right? My kids don't know what words mean. Clean your room. Clean your room. Oh, I did. I did. Right. And I walk in there. Oh, I guess clean means you got a 4-inch layer of debris littering the floor like the trash compactor in Star Wars. A little serpent swimming around down there at carpet level. That's clean, huh? Schools, my school doesn't know what words mean, right? They say they put kids first, but then they make kids wear masks for the sake of protecting some old fat people, right? That's not putting kids first. But it's right there in the mission statement. We put kids first. I don't think you know what words mean. Don't think you know what words mean. Those masks are not for kids. Kids don't have any more risk than from COVID than they do from the flu. Another person doesn't know what words mean. German Health Minister Jens Spahn, right? He just came out with this news conference statement. He said that by the spring of 2022, everyone in Germany will be vaccinated, cured, or dead. Well, I don't think he knows what words mean. Because cured implies from medicine, from treatment, from some sort of health care. And so you're either receiving health care in the form of vaccination or some other treatment, or you're dead by spring. There's no other choice. No, I will bet my house that that is wrong. I will bet my house and I'll bet my Dungeons & Dragons miniature collection. How about that? I will bet that. That there are going to be some Germans in the spring of 22 who are not dead and also not the recipients of COVID medical care. This guy just doesn't know what words mean. Sure, maybe it's a problem with the translation. I didn't really look up the original German because I don't speak German. Maybe it's an Ich bin ein Berliner, I am a jelly donut type of translation issue. But I don't think so. And either translator doesn't understand what words mean, and certainly the people who are running all this news on AP and other websites, they should have caught it if it's really just a translation error. But I think he actually said it, and that is wrong. Another person who doesn't know what words mean, Joe Biden. Joe Biden, of course, he keeps insisting that inflation is transitory. It's temporary. Joe, all things are temporary. All things are transitory. That word is meaningless if you're not putting some sort of time frame on it, right? All things go. All things go. I believe that's a Sufjan Stevens song used in The Politician, that Ryan Murphy show on Netflix. Sufjan Stevens, great guy, by the way. I grew up with Sufjan. I wasn't friends with him myself, but my sister was friends with his sister. Good family. Great kids. Great people. So yeah, like all things are transitory. It's just ridiculous. I think Yellen, Treasury Secretary Yellen, just said, well, maybe by a year from now, maybe by next fall. Wow, that is stretching the definition of transitory when people are paying double. Is gas going to be up to $8? Is it going to double again by next fall? It's a meaningless thing to say it's transitory. It's like my wife in medical school, right? She gets the surgery rotations. And we find out the joke, right? The joke among surgeons is all bleeding stops, right? All bleeding stops. It's true. Can't argue with it. All bleeding stops. It does one way or the other. All things stop, right? So come on, Joe. Transitory inflation. Of course it's transitory. All things are temporary if you have an appropriate Akatosh time scale. By the way, if you really want a good take on the meaning of transitory and eventually, read Stephen King's Everything's Eventual. Stephen King is a guy who knows what words mean. Number six, education system doesn't know what racism means, right? They keep telling kids to look at history through the lens of race. Education system says, we're not racist. So here, why don't you look at history and make sure you know who's white and who's black and who's brown, because that is what really matters. we're not racist, but when you look at the Supreme Court and you analyze their decisions, you have to look and see if they're white or if they're brown. We're not sexist, but when you look at the Supreme Court, you have to look and see if it's men making the decision or women making the decision. We're not sexist, we're not racist, but when you nominate someone for the Supreme Court, you're evil if you're not nominating someone who is the right sex and the right race. Newsflash, that's racist, right? If your mission statement includes that you're not racist or some sort of language to that effect, and then you're teaching kids in class that, of course, Plessy versus Ferguson, of course, Lochner were these horrible decisions 120, 125 years ago because SCOTUS was all white and all male. If that's what you're teaching your kids, you are a hypocrite. You are being racist, even though you say you are not racist. Great, great Wall Street Journal op-ed the other day from Habi Zhang, who I guess is a postdoc student here from China, but now her kid is going to elementary school, third grade over in New Jersey. And she points out that elementary schools here are just as Maoist as the elementary schools in China, as far as their tactics goes. And she points out the Chinese, right, are using these Maoist identity politics, struggle session type of techniques to indoctrinate kids to follow Xi, cult of personality around Xi, put the party first, prepare you for a brutal hard life of sacrifice and political competition, accept censorship and the narrowing of your mind, reminds me of the focus in Werner Vinge's Great Deepness in the Sky, right? But American schools, she says, are just as Maoist, only they are using their Maoist techniques towards slightly different ends. They are focusing on wokeness, teaching kids that race and gender and tribal affiliation are the most important things, the final arbiters in judging history. So, you know, they're both Maoist. They both demonize anyone who disagrees with you. They both publicly put up for some sort of like struggle session, you know, disparagement session, ridicule, vilification. Or you could just flat out disappear people, right? Like the WTA Peng Shui tennis player who's been disappeared in China for accusing an official there of basically rape, right? 5-year-long rape, forced sexual relationship over 5 years. That's what people are calling it, a forced sexual relationship over 5 years. The word for forced sex is rape. So that's a 5-year-long rape. And, you know, if you don't think people in Western culture are also disappearing people, you know, go try to find Trump on social media. Go try to find Milo. Alina Chan just yesterday or the day before started complaining that her tweets are being deboosted on Twitter. People get disappeared in the West all the time. It might not be quite as thorough, and it's definitely better because it's nominally private companies doing it in the West. But let me tell you, the line between private and public is way too blurred in the West right now. And politically is really the only place in the West where the line between public and private is stronger than it is in China. If you look economically, the line between private and public is much stronger in China and has been than compared to the United States. Just look at how they've treated their Evergrande situation. As I predicted, they are not going in with a 2008 TARP-style bailout. They are much more capitalist in China right now, and they have been over the last few decades economically, than the United States has been. They're not just saying, oh, too big to fail, here's gazillions of dollars. That has not been their approach with Evergrande at all, as I predicted, BT dubs. Next, let's keep going down the news rundown here. Number 7 on the list, U.S. releasing 50 million barrels of strategic oil reserves. Pretty predictable also. Pretty predictable move also. Got to follow in the steps of Carter, right? I mean, who better? Who better to follow in your steps of? Who else could you model yourself after than Jimmy Carter? But the U.S. is not alone and Carterizing their approach to the high fuel prices. This move has been coordinated with India, China, Japan, South Korea, and the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. What I see here is more indoctrination, more teaching people to expect the government to fix the market. And why would you want this? The government interfering in the market is what brought us to this place in the first place. I think the government should stand up and take some responsibility and say, hey, you know what? Instead of trying some more of the same, instead of trying more of the same policies that got us to this place, how about we pull back? How about we try cutting down on the government interference in the market? See how that works out. You know, but no, they're not going to take responsibility. No one is better at wielding power without responsibility than a politician. Their first main skill is getting elected, right? But the second main skill of a politician is avoiding responsibility. Politicians need to own these high gas prices and let someone else other than the government try to deal with them, but they won't. Can't even imagine it. Speaking of owning it, next item here, Biden kept Jerome Powell at the Fed. Jerome Powell, of course, the person that Trump put into that spot. So this is just another example of another point that I've been making over the last couple of weeks in the podcast here, the ADK homeroom. I've been pointing out that, you know what, the millennials and the Gen Zers, they're complaining constantly about the boomers. They forget about the Gen X people, but that's okay. We are happy to be forgotten about. We hate you all. All right? We hate you all. That's a bit of a strong word, but we're not going out of our way to save y'all. That's clear, right? So anyway, the millennials and the Gen Zers are constantly complaining about the boomers, and then they elect the exact same people, and they keep the exact same people. And they vote for Biden. He's been in there since the 1970s. It's ridiculous. And then what does Biden do with the Fed? Perhaps the biggest economic decision of his tenure so far. He keeps the same guy Trump had there. Keeps the same guy. Yeah, inflation, we'll just own that. Give me some more of that. All right. Jimmy Carter, here we come. Last item here, last example. This is another example of not knowing what words mean. The New Yorker, of all places. Oh, my grandfather was a charter subscriber to the New Yorker, by the way. When did it come out? 1920, somewhere right around there. And he was in New York, and he was like, you know what? This looks cool. I'm down for that. I'm going to get me some of that. And he subscribed. He has the very first issue. Charter subscriber there, my grandfather. Good job to him. He also did pretty well with GE, gotta say. So, New Yorker has a new article out, and the title of the New Yorker article is The New Luxury Vacation Being Dumped in the Middle of Nowhere. You can see the problem here. Let's go on. First sentence. One recent afternoon in Morocco, a 49-year-old former Royal Marine Commando named Phil Asher walked me into a desolate valley in the Atlas Mountains, shook my hand, and abandoned me. I think you can see the problem here. That's not luxury. That is not what luxury means. It might be expensive. It might be exclusive. It might be extraordinary. It is not luxurious. You look up luxurious in the dictionary, you get first couple definitions. Conducive to physical comfort. Extremely comfortable living. That is not being abandoned in the middle of the Atlas Mountains, okay? It is from the Latin luxus, which is excess. And what's excess here, right? What is excess? This is about cutting out all things. The other example is, right, being dropped in the middle of mountains in the winter with snow. I mean, maybe it's about cutting out. It's about cutting out tech. It's about cutting out society. It's about cutting out communication. The only thing excess here is the restraint, the cutting out. This is not what the word luxury means. That is not a luxurious vacation being abandoned out there. All right, guys, that's going to wind it up for today. We will wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Find me on Twitter, the ADK Homeroom, and have a wonderful holiday weekend. Take care.